those old records off the shelf. I have records. I love that my kids are into vinyl. You can purchase turntables anywhere. It just reminds me of high school.
Sure.
Did you have a lot of albums,
oh,
or were
yeah.
you more into 8-tracks or something? I never had
both,
an 8-track player.
Oh, you didn't?
Mm-mm. No. Music is so much better when it's interrupted by a clicking noise.
In the studio with us, Mark Plotnick and Jim Samaria. Am I saying that right? Samaria.
Right. Thank
Samaria?
You.
Which is it?
Samaria.
Samaria. This book was sent to us. It's called Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today. I cannot put this down. These pictures are beautiful. There are tidbits about a lot of bands. Mark, let's start with you. How did this come together?
Well, I'm going to defer to Jim. Jim's has a portfolio that he always wanted to put together in a book. And I had retired in 2010, and he called me up and said, get ready to do a book. And Jim, why don't you talk a little bit more about that? Because
Jim, these pictures are amazing.
Well, thank you, Wendy. Yeah, back in the day, in the 70s, I was the photographer for Flipside Productions. And so I had all these great shots from the 70s, and I was selling them to some magazines here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what am I going to do with them anymore, right? So
frame them and put them all over your walls.
Yes, and they are. They're all over the house. My wife wants me to take them down. But I had an idea. I started shooting concerts again in 2006. So now I was getting the same classic rock guys looking like how they are today.
Yeah.
A little bit older.
Some look better than others, I'll tell you that. Robert Plant not looking so good in his older years.
But a nice man.
Oh, I'm not saying anything about it, but it's bad when Jimmy Page is the best looking one around.
So I needed to get some pictures of the today people. And it started with Johnny Winter. His manager, Paul Nelson, called me, and he wanted to purchase one of my 70s pictures to put on his new CD. So I went and sold him the photograph. And then the next time he was in town, I said, hey, I'll take some pictures of Johnny Winter. So I did that. And I met a lady named Lisa Torum, who was a rock and roll writer. And I said, hey, you know, I'll take pictures for you at concerts. And so this went on. But I wasn't getting enough, and then the idea for the book came in my mind. Hey, before and after, then and now, or today and yesterday, as it turned out. And what I wanted to do was get more pictures. And then I found out that the Arcata Theater out in St. Charles had a lot of classic rock shows. So I contacted Ron Onesti. I told him about the book, and he said, well, let me think about it. He thought about it. He gave me a call, and he said, okay, I'll give you a free rein. Come to any concert you want. Just check in with my head photographer, Lou Bellotti, and you can come to any show. And for example, last night I photographed John Lodge of the Moody Blues, and tonight I'm photographing America. And that's how that part started. But just really quick how it started in the beginning, because it's kind of a cool story. I snuck on the main floor of a Led Zeppelin concert in 1973. Those were the days you could do that.
And security not as tight back then, is that what you say?
Yeah. And I got about third row, and I'm taking pictures, and I got these great pictures of Plant and Page. So I went to my local store, which was Flipside, and said, hey, you want to put them on the wall? Maybe we could sell them. And they said, okay. So another concert comes. I do the same thing, another concert. So Rich Carlson, who was the manager, said, would you like to be our official photographer? And I said, sure, you know. Well, it turns out Flipside was also the promoter of all the concerts.
Yeah.
So now I'm getting backstage. I was 19 years old.
Oh, God, that's a dream come true.
I just had to meet with Carl and Larry Rosenbaum. They said, okay, you could be our photographer. So I was their official photographer. So at 19, I was getting backstage and shooting Black Sabbath and The Who and all these great bands. And, you know, the week before, I'm standing in line at Ticketron.
Yeah.
Trying to get tickets, and all of a sudden it's like I'm walking in with the band. And it was obviously, you know, a lot of people helped me through the way.
Yeah.
And it was a very cool beginning.
And I'm only mad at Robert Plant, because why doesn't he just get back together with the Zep people? Come on, you can have Jason Bonham do drums. Come on, we're all dying for it.
He doesn't want to do it.
I know he doesn't.
He feels that several rock stars at this stage feel that they... people don't want to see them in their 70s getting up there and doing songs that they used to do in their 20s.
What about The Who? I just saw The Who. They were fantastic. Well, they look great.
Roger Daltrey was great. I understand he was excellent. But I think Robert Plant actually made a good decision. He did an album with Alison Krauss.
Yeah, they were great together.
And I think he's just interested in trying other things that maybe fit, you know, his voice at this point in his life.
The Eagles, they sound pretty darn good back together. They could do it. All right, come on, Robert Plant.
Jim, there's an energy to rock and roll and to the people who play rock and roll. What's the key to capturing that energy in a photograph?
Well, I always, as a photojournalist, you want to capture the decisive moment.
Yeah.
And the decisive moment could be anything from a hand gesture to a facial expression. And what I want to do is when people see my photos is to feel like they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, because I'm up close and a lot of people might be in the cheap seats, you know, that's why I want to show them what it's like up close. So you're really getting something. But I want the people to feel the music through my photographs.
Yeah.
There's a great picture of Eric Clapton from 1974 at the International Amphitheater here in Chicago, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's only triple inductee, as he went in with the Yardbirds, Cream, and solo artist.
My idol, Eric Clapton.
Oh, God, just a young Eric Clapton. Now, this book has a part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, doesn't it? Is it part of it?
The book is part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum, Library, and Archives. We were actually VIP guests there back in April. They invited us out there with a little ceremony. And recently, our book was actually put into the gift shop for sale, which was quite an honor because they have limited space for books. But the experience at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was just amazing. We got to look at different types of instruments that nobody gets to see. They took us in these climate-controlled areas that are off-limits to the public. And, Jim, why don't you tell some of the instruments that we saw? And
whose guitars?
Well, we walked in, and we went in the back area. And the first thing they show us was John Lennon's guitar from the rooftop.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then the next one right next to it was from the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, wow.
I offered him $10.
They said no to that?
They said no.
And their mistake.
You know, I upped it to $12.50 and it's still no. But that was quite, other than being on this show, I'd say that's the highlight of this book. Because we saw other things, original Jimi Hendrix lyrics that he wrote on just a piece of paper. The John Lennon
Purple Haze, Jesus Saves was the original title for Purple Haze. And then they took us into this room, and there's this little steel box sitting on a shelf all by itself. And we're told that that was donated by Yoko Lennon. It's Yoko Ono, and it's a box with personal belongings of John Lennon. It's not to be opened until the year 2040.
A time capsule.
Yeah, it's a time capsule. And Jimi Hendrix's guitar strap from Woodstock and Prince, you know, apparel and all these things.
What's their plan with that stuff? If it's not on display, they're just keeping it kind of in the back. What are they doing with
it? A lot of people donate things. They need to keep it in a safe place. They archive it. These people are all professionals. They all have master's degrees in this and that and in library science. And the goal is to make sure it's in a safe place, it's handled properly, and then they prepare it for rotating exhibits because they've got more that they can put out there. And we were just like kids in the candy store. It was, I'm 69 years old. It was one of the thrills of my life,
really?
I hate to say it, next to meeting my wife. But
nicely done. Very
it
nice.
Was quite an honor. And
I can imagine.
This seriously, this really shaped who we are today as the music we listened to when we were growing up. And it has such a special place. We're going to take a very quick break. We're going to come back, find out where you can purchase this book. Of course, you can get it in the gift shop at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame if you're there, but there are other places. It's Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, photos by Jim Samaria, and words by Mark Plotnick. And we will continue after this on 720 WGN. We are talking rock and and roll. The book is called Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today. And we have Mark Plotnick in the studio and Jim Samaria.
You're getting it, Wendy. You're getting it.
I'm getting it. Jim has taken the photos. Mark, you have provided the words. And where can people get this book? Because what a great stocking stuffer.
Well, of course, it's available on Amazon, but we hope your listeners will support their local bookseller. Right now, it can be found at Barber's Bookstores in Chicago and Barnes & Noble. If you're out in Portland, Powell City of Books carries it. In California, Amoeba Music Stores.
Oh, I love
carry
Amoeba
the book.
Records.
Yeah. And what am I forgetting? The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame gift shop. Yeah.
Do you have
Cleveland?
A website where people can get all this information?
Yes.
Yeah, you could contact me on my website, jimsamariaphoto.com. jimsamariaphoto.com.
Some of your favorite pictures in this book, because I'm looking through it. You've got everybody. You've got Rory Gallagher, New York Dolls, Robin Trower, Paul McCartney and Wings.
Who's that last one?
Paul McCartney. You remember?
McCartney.
Yeah, he's very popular. Very popular.
I mean, where do you even begin with, like, what's your favorite photo? Who was your favorite person to photograph?
That's easy. My favorite band to photograph was The Who. Especially the Keith Moon era,
yeah,
which really is The Who. You don't know who to shoot because all other than John Entwistle, they were just so dynamic.
Yeah,
so that was probably the most exciting. One of my favorite people of all time is on the cover, Rory Gallagher, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a cool story. When we were doing the mock-up for the cover, we were going back and forth, what are we going to do? Should we put Who on there or Zeppelin, et cetera? But it's mm-hmm. like, okay, people might think it's about The Who or Zeppelin. So we thought it out, and we thought, okay, we'll do Rory Gallagher, especially doing, you know, running with the guitar like he's doing. So we put out a mock-up on Facebook that, hey, here comes our book. All of a sudden, I get an email from Rory Gallagher's nephew, and he said, this is so cool that you're putting my uncle on the cover. I want you to be in contact with my dad, who is the brother of Rory Gallagher. And so he wrote me and just was so thrilled. So it's actually on Rory Gallagher's website, official website, that our book is there.
Nice.
But they were just so thrilled that we put him on the cover. And
you know, one of the great things about Rory Gallagher is when he was alive, he was really revered in Ireland. When Belfast was having, you know, a lot of violence in those years, mm-hmm. he made it a point of going and playing Belfast to bring hope and inspiration to a lot of Irish musicians and the youth out there, because there was a lot of despair going on in that part of the world, and it was quite a selfless act. And they have all kinds of festivals for him over there, and nobody in rock and roll worked harder than Rory Gallagher when he got on stage.
Good. I've noticed in a lot of rock and roll photographs, the subject is a little sweaty because you've got him doing his job, and if he's doing his job right, he's going to sweat a little bit. Does that enhance the picture a little bit to see a guy all greased up like that from work?
Oh, yeah.
That is sexy.
If you're going to spend $70 on a ticket, sweat, baby. You know, I want you working for your money. So, I think it's in... You know, just the faces that they make. You know, especially guitarists, they always make.
Robin Trower, man, those
Robin
faces.
Trower.
Yeah.
I couldn't look at him after a while. We saw him at the Park West, and it's like, that is just weird. I can't watch the face anymore. So then you watch the fingers playing the guitar.
Yeah. I always like that moment where the lead singer and somebody in the band makes eye contact, you know, where Bruce Springsteen and Clarence Clemens just have that half a second where they go, this is working. I always like that second, you know?
Well, that's the best part about live music is watching musicians interact and then interacting with the audience. And you see those little smiles, and then they walk towards each other when you know they're in a groove, and that's why live music is the best as far as I'm concerned.
Who has eluded you? Who have you always wanted to shoot that for one reason or another it just hasn't happened yet?
Springsteen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's going on? Why do you think that hasn't happened yet?
Well, first off, he's probably not going to play a small venue, and to get photo passes for the large venues, like Elton John's coming soon, chances are I won't get a pass for that unless somebody's listening out there who could give me a pass. So it's kind of difficult because to get passes, you have to get the permission of the management. And so that's why I go through the Arcata, because then they get the permission for me. So that makes it a lot easier.
Ron Onesti helps everyone. Seriously, he brings back, just if you go to oshows.com, mm-hmm. you will find so many shows that you want to go see. You really do. And it's just a special place in our hearts. I went to see, I can't think of her name, Ronnie Spector. She did a Christmas show at the Arcata. It was like the most amazing night in the world, and it really does bring you back to your roots.
Yeah. But yeah, he gets a couple hundred shows a year, a lot of classic rock. So, you know, if you want to see a good show, and the price is right, and it's so small, it's what, 900-seater, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you're close no matter where you're sitting.
Yeah, and the acoustics are excellent there. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I think Ron at a recent show said that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame said that the Arcata puts on more classic rock acts than any other venue in the United States.
Impressive.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
A lot of these pictures were taken there, and you can see, like, then and now on some people I like looking at the old ones, Ann and Nancy Wilson of Heart. You've got the Kinks, Joe Walsh. It's just really an amazing book and would make a great stocking stuffer. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
When you really quickly, when you see that moment of stars from the old days and then today, and you know time has passed and life has moved on, what does that do to you psychologically when you see the early version of them and the current version next to each other?
Well, I still think they're great.
Yeah, sure.
And one of the things I think that a lot of them do is they surround themselves with phenomenal musicians. For example, John Lodge last night of the Moody Blues, the musicians he had were much, much younger than him, but they're all amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know they're not the same age, but they're still up there being excited and enjoying it. And they love making the crowd happy.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, people are there for the nostalgia and all that. And, you know, you hear a song like Knights in White Satin, you think back, what was I doing to that song, you know, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever it was?
Breathe deep, the gathering gloom.
They did that. They did that. Graham Edge actually re-recorded that just for that concert.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That is super cool. Really quickly, we have like 30 seconds here. Dave, you have a question real quickly.
I'm in the Chicago Community Darkroom where we still shoot film, and we want to know, like back in the 70s, what films were you using to shoot your subjects with at the concerts?
Oh, back in the 70s, I was shooting ektachrome. Tungsten.
That's color, but did you do any like black and white films?
Yeah, I did Tri-X, and then I would push that to 1600 ASA.
Yeah.
And in the ektachrome, I would shoot tungsten, and I would push that to 320.
I didn't know they had the tungsten back then. Okay.
All right, Dave, you got to get this book. Great stocking stuffer. Classic rock photographs from yesterday and today. Photos by Jim Samaria. And Mark Plotnick has put this together. The words, nice little stocking stuffer. I'm telling you, it's great for the rock and roll, classic rock and roll music lover. And again, a website and on information on where to get this book. Where is it? The website. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me.
My website?
Yeah.
JimSamariaPhoto.com.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate it.
And coming up next, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where we'll hear our news from here on 720 WGN.